Now, in services like this, especially if you're not familiar with the typical flow of a church service, any abrupt changes can seem kind of sudden. If you're unfamiliar, it can be kind of jolting to go from singing to reading to praying to singing to passing a plate, you know, way back before COVID, and to listening to a talk and then back to singing. Anyways, quick changes can be challenging, can be hard. Right? This can be true in not just on a Sunday morning, but in life as well. I'm thinking in particular about quick changes from dark to light on our eyes. They can hurt, can't they? Quick changes from dark to light. I mean, when you walk out of a dark movie theater into the lobby that is fully bright, what happens? Let's actually show each other, right? You're kind of like this. Don't make me be the only one doing it, right? There we go. It's bright. What about if you're driving at night? Driving at night, maybe Bigelow Gulch, out in the middle of a little less lights of the city. It's dark, your eyes are adjusted, you're moving along fine, you're even starting to see some of the silhouettes of things off to the side, you know, the house that's off to the side, some of the deer that are grazing, and the deer that's just about to jump in front of your car. You see all those things, and then that car starts coming at you. And you know which car is that car. It's the one with those new fancy LED headlights. Yeah. If you're on the other side of them, it's a nice bluish glow. If you're going towards them, it is a glare. And you're, you know which ones I'm talking about, don't you? You've been there. You can't tell, is that a pickup because the lights are directly at eye level, or is that someone with their high beams on just being mean? All right, so what do you do as you're driving by? Right? You kind of block it out. And it passes, you squint a little bit, you try to stay on the road, and your eyes readjust. Sudden changes can be hard on the eyes. Sometimes they can hurt. Sometimes they can be scary. All right? Think of the first time you took your kids camping. John, you remember that? First time ever? You remember a time when they were young. Okay, first time ever, out in a tent, away from the city lights, away from the night lights. It's dark as all get out. They hear everything that's outside the tent. And of course, mommy sent a high efficiency flashlight with them. So you're sound asleep as a dad, and they hear a leaf fall and they think it's a bear. They're going to shine that light right in your face, and they're going to say, something's out there, something out there. And what do you do from a dead sleep? Right? You didn't do that with me. I don't want to feel like I'm the only one doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of you. You ever been in a good lightning storm? You know, electrical storm outdoors? No rain necessarily, but, you know, just the lights are being flashing all over the sky. If you're in the woods, it's even worse because, you know, it flashes, you squint, but then you also are a little bit hesitant and scared because you don't know what eyes are going to be looking at you from that quick split second that it lights up. Okay, quick changes can be hard on the eyes, and they can be scary at times. If you're watching online, you can think of any other examples of that, a quick change from dark to light, where it can be scary, where it can be painful. Let us know. Write it in the comment box, and if you do it quickly, then Elena will text it over to me, and we'll share that in just a moment or two. Dark to light, what makes you squint? What makes your eyes hurt? What makes you have a little bit of fear? Let's pray, and then we'll jump into today. Lord God, thank you again for this chance to gather. We don't take this lightly, and we are here in your presence by your invitation. Would you meet with us here? We recognize that you're already here. Would you allow us to sense your presence? Help us to hear what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're in week 3 of a 4-week sermon series, an Advent series titled In Light and Darkness. We've seen that both light and darkness are needed and necessary, and both are part of the Advent story. First 2 weeks, we looked more at the idea of darkness as a theme. You know, 2 weeks ago, we realized, okay, darkness isn't all that bad. In fact, it highlights or it emphasizes the light. Last week, I told you, even though there's no darkness in God, he joins us in our dark. So he's not afraid of joining in the darkness of the world, the darkness in our own lives. And we looked several times at what the angel Gabriel said to Mary and Joseph. He said, don't be afraid. At the end of last week, I told you I'd shift to more of a light-themed focus, and we're gonna do that today. And it looks like our online audience, I haven't given them enough time to give us a couple of examples. So maybe I'll come back to that. You got one, Connie?
I do.
Go ahead and say it, and I'll repeat it.
When you're driving in the dark, and you think you're fine, and you're just driving, and all of a sudden there's blue or red lights behind you.
When you're driving.
That's never happened to me.
Never happened to Connie, but when you're driving at night, you know, headlights are fine, all of a sudden there's blue and red lights flashing behind you. That's enough to make you scared, for sure. Be another one of those quick changes, checking your speedometer and automatically slowing down. Our text for today has this idea of a quick change from dark to light, and it's found in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you have a phone with an app on it, go ahead and turn there. And I'll give you a little background, put this in context. At the beginning of Luke, we see John the Baptist's birth foretold by the angel Gabriel. Comes, he meets Zechariah, tells him his wife is going to have a baby. Zechariah's like, really? How? She's old. And he gets struck mute. And then the next story is Mary and angel Gabriel visiting her as well, telling her, hey, don't be afraid, but you're going to be mommy to the Son of God. You're going to be mommy to a king of a kingdom that never ends, and no pressure at all. So at that point, Mary, you know, composes herself, runs to visit her relative Elizabeth. And when she gets there, she greets Elizabeth, and then she bursts out in song. A few months pass in the story, John is born, and John's daddy, no longer mute, also bursts out in song. It must have been a musical family. The end of his song is this. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. That's called foreshadowing. We get to Luke chapter 2. Now, if you are there, if you're online, give me a thumbs up in the comment box. If you are here, give me a thumbs up if you're in Luke chapter 2. Even if you're not in Luke chapter 2, give me a thumbs up because it shows me you're still awake and you're glad to be here. Good to see you, Tommy. All right, Luke chapter 2 begins with the declaration of a census being taken. Joseph and Mary, Jesus' parents, go to Bethlehem to register for the census, and baby Jesus arrives. And then we get to our text for today, which is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. You can follow along in your Bibles or just listen. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Verse 13, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I'm going to stop here for this week. I'll finish the story next week. I know for a lot of you, this is a familiar story. I mean, a dark night. It's dark. They're out in the fields. There's no light pollution. There's no glow from nearby Bethlehem or Jerusalem because streetlights weren't invented for another 1,800 years. So it is dark out there. And the text says, suddenly. Catch that. Suddenly, bright lights, angel appears, right? Quick changes from dark to light are hard on the eyes and can be scary on the soul sometimes. Suddenly, the text says, the radiance of the Lord shone. It shone, or in the New Living Translation, it says it surrounded the shepherds. I always try and put myself in the situation right there. And, you know, if I was the angel, you know, what would I have said when that happened? Right? Hey, who turned on the lights? What about evening, fellas? How's the sheep business this year? No? How about, that's better. I can see clearly now. The dark is gone. Did the angel say any of that stuff? No. You know why? Because the angel looked down and he saw a group of men doing exactly what we were doing moments ago. Right? Dark to light. group of shepherds covering their eyes, shaking in fear. So the angel says the same thing we're getting used to hearing these days. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The shiny angel then goes on to tell the story of a Messiah being born, a Savior, close by, right over there in Jerusalem, or excuse me, in Bethlehem. The baby would be wrapped up snugly, lying in a manger. Now, in the fear from the shepherds right there, they probably heard manger, and they were like, oh, good, I know what that looks like. Shepherds know what mangers look like. Had the angel said he'd be wrapped up in an armoire or in a bassinet, they might not have known. A manger. Okay, so you know the story. Dark to light. Angel appears, announces, proclaims, don't be afraid, Messiah born right over there, wrapped snugly, lying in a manger, ready, set, go. And just in case the entrance of one angel and a bright light wasn't enough, a host, an army full of other angels starts singing. I pictured this, okay? All the shepherds are kind of trying to guard their eyes and squint. And then an army full of angels are singing. So what do you do? I mean, you go like, because you can't hear, you can't see. They were probably terrified. Terrified. And yet the angel says, you know what? Don't be afraid. In fact, here's our song. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is a great story. A story that a lot of us really like. We're thrilled to see God using his angels to talk to deal with, to proclaim the greatest story ever told to a bunch of ragtag, normal, everyday, hardworking people. Right? We get excited to see common folk being used by God because we're common folk. And we know that, you know, God can use us too. And oftentimes, that's the focus of this passage. This past week, as I've been sitting here with it, looking at it, I keep getting drawn back to this idea of a quick change from dark to light and this challenge from the angel to not be afraid. In the last 2 weeks, we talked about darkness and how we can be scared of the dark. So as we move to the light, we thought we'd get away from that do not be afraid challenge, and yet here it is again. Do not be afraid. I mean, what's going on? Scared of the dark or are they scared of the light? Come on, shepherds. It's light. You don't have to be scared of that. And yet, can you blame them? I mean, their eyes were accustomed to the dark. They lived half their lives fluently in the dark. And all of a sudden, the entire countryside is lit up. Because the text says a bright light shone, and the radiance of the Lord surrounded them. I'm going to take you on a purposeful tangent, and you'll see where I'm going. We're going to dig just a little bit deeper. If we fast forward in the story from Luke to the next time in the story that we see an angel and a bright light appear, it takes us to Acts chapter 12. Now, at this point in the chronological history, Jesus has already lived and been crucified and resurrected and gone back up to the Father. Okay? Acts chapter 12. By that time, Jesus' half-brother James was beheaded. King Herod took his head. Okay? And Jesus' best friend Peter is thrown in jail. So things aren't going too well for the followers of Jesus at this point. But we get to Acts chapter 12, verse 7, and it says this. It says, suddenly, oh, there's that word again. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him. Peter must have been a sound sleeper. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. The angel leads Peter out of the cell, sets him free, and we're like, oh, cool. Another angel, another bright light. That was fun. It would have been neat to see that. Here's the interesting part. In this story in Acts chapter 12, when it talks about a bright light, the Greek word is lampo. I can't make this stuff up. Lampo. Where do you think we get our word for that little thing you turn on with a light bulb? Right? This word lampo in the Greek, it means to light a candle. Or in our day and age, it would mean to light a flashlight. In the right context, it would mean to light a really, really bright flashlight. But mainly, it's just to light a candle. So in that situation with Acts chapter 12, it would have been neat to be there to see this angelic escape from jail. But the light it's talking about there is not the same type of light that we see in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 9, it says, the radiance of the Lord shone. And we get this picture. I think we have another picture. Oh, I guess we don't. That's the next slide. But go ahead and keep that up there. This idea of shone, okay? The Greek word for shone is perilampo. As you can see, lampo's in there, so it's the same root word, but that is that a prefix? Somebody that's good at grammar. Thank you. A prefix of peri changes the weight of this word. It's different than the word in Acts chapter 12, verse 7. Perilampo doesn't just mean to light a candle. It means that the light that shines doesn't create a shadow. It is so bright that there's no darkness at all. I mean, you light a flashlight, right? And you go like this on the wall, and you get little finger puppets. There's a shadow. But with perilampo, there is no shadow at all. I mean, this type of light completely is surrounding. It's enclosing. It's encasing. It's enfolding with light. So in the fields with the shepherds, normally, if they lit a candle, there'd be some darkness on the other side of the sheep. No darkness there. There's no darkness behind the shepherds. If you looked at the faraway tree, you would see every single piece of bark, every branch, every leaf. It was so bright, it was brighter than day. I mean, just picture that. I don't even know if we can because we're not used to that type of light. So if you go back to the text, you read this with that understanding of the light. Okay, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. It encased them. It enclosed them. There was nothing but light instantly. Quick changes from dark to light can be hard on the eyes. Now, we could stop there. All right, and I could tie in what the angel said, don't be afraid, to last week's emphasis of don't be afraid, and it'd be a nice comfortable Advent sermon. I kept digging because something in this text piqued my interest. This word perilampo piqued my interest. There's only one other time in the New Testament when that word is used, just once, and it's the time when Saul, who would later become Paul, met Jesus for the first time. I think a lot of you guys are familiar with that story. He's on the way to Damascus. He's going to beat up, to imprison, to drag Christians, followers of the way, back to Jerusalem so that they can be thrown in jail. He's not for Jesus at that time, okay? And he's in Acts chapter 26, he's telling King Agrippa about when he met Jesus. Acts chapter 26, verse 12 to 15. One day, Paul says, I was on such a mission to violently oppose the Christians, to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, your majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. There's that word, shone. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. The only other time in Scripture that this word perilampo is used is right there. And it talks about a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining down. And everybody in that party on that road that day fell down. Did they fall down because they were scared of the light? Quite possibly. Because it was brighter than anything they had ever seen? Quite possibly, right? All-encompassing, all surrounding, brighter than the sun. Now, I'm going to read into the text a bit. So take what I say from here on out just with a grain of salt, all right? I have to wonder if the people on that road and the shepherds, you know, were backing up in fear of the light and that quick change, or was there something deeper going on? See, Saul was on his way to persecute people following Jesus, and Jesus calls him out on it. Saul was doing what he thought was right, what he thought was pure, what he thought was good for the religion that he was following. And Jesus says, hold on, wait a second, I'm the one you're persecuting. And maybe someday, again, I'm adding words to Paul's mouth here, maybe someday you're going to look back on this time in your life and realize this were some of my darker days. Maybe Paul wouldn't have been proud of these days. If you go back to the fields with the shepherds, Yes, they're used to the dark. They're minding their own business. They're guarding their sheep, and a bright light shows up, and an angel shows up, and yes, that could be all that they were scared of. That could be all that made them terrified. But I have to wonder, was there something more there too? If you go back to the Apostle Paul, I know I'm bouncing back and forth just a little bit, but the Apostle Paul would later write a letter to the church in Ephesus. And I think he might have been thinking about this day on the road in Damascus. He writes this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." I've been thinking about the shepherds. You know, wondering, out there, blue-collar workers, manly men out in the fields, all right, enjoying what they're doing, and this light shines down. And the mental picture, this is the way James's mind works in the middle of the week. The mental picture I got was when, you know, on TV, when someone gets arrested, they get put inside this dark room and a light is put over them, and, you know, the investigators are asking them all sorts of questions and telling them different things that they have done in their life, and it's as if they can't escape the light, and that light just illuminates everything they've ever done wrong. I wonder, did the shepherds experience any of that? Was the fear just the quick change of dark to light, or were they realizing that with the birth of this Messiah that the angel had proclaimed, that some of the things that maybe they did, how they lived, what they thought, maybe some of those would be challenged, would be addressed? I don't know. Again, I'm thinking probably more than the text wants me to think, but it's what I do. One of the scariest prayers in the Bible to me is a prayer at the end of Psalm 139. It's verses 23 and 24. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting light." Now, essentially, I hear that psalmist saying, "All right, God, shine a light on me. On my life, on my mind, on my heart, and show me any places where I might have something in the shadows keeping from you. And when you do, reveal that to me and bring it to the light." That's a scary prayer to pray. And if I put myself in the sandals of the shepherds that night, I wonder, would that be what had me more scared than just this quick change from dark to light? You know, when we meet Jesus for the first time, or when we re-meet Jesus at different times in our life, it can be scary. It can be unsettling, because we can realize the things that we're doing, the things that have become norm in our life, are things that Jesus might say, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?" Not in some negative, like, "I'm going to throw you out forever and ever, amen," type of way, but just, "Let me bring this to light." And that can be hard when that happens. But it's needed and it's necessary. And the thing that we can cling to in this text really does become not just the quick change from dark to light, but what the mass choir of angels said at the end. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And the first angel's message was simple: don't be afraid. Don't let your fear be turned to joy. The Messiah has arrived. He's lying in a manger. And then the mass crowd of angels said, "Peace is here." As we get closer and closer to Jesus in our walks with Jesus, which should be our goal every single day, is to get closer to him, there's going to be times where we're squinting, where we're like, "Oh, I can't handle this." But in those times, we can have the comfort of the promise of all of the angels of heaven saying, "There's peace. There's peace." So we don't have to fear what the light is going to reveal. I don't know. For me, that's encouraging this week, that I can step closer to the light. Yes, I might have to squint a little bit, but Jesus is saying there's peace with him. And may that encourage you this week. Let's pray. Jesus, I know that in the 37, 38 years that I've been following you, there has been days, weeks, and years where I have struggled, where I have wandered, where I have not been as close to you as I should be. Lord, where I have tried to keep things in the shadows. And yet a text like this reminds me that you, there's no shadow in you. And the light that you bring is all-encompassing. And yes, it can reveal the darkness in my life. It can reveal the sins that need to be addressed. But it can also bring great comfort because that light brings peace. I pray that this week, those here and those watching online, and even those who are not with us today, would experience the peace of Christ in a very real way. And would it bring a joyful song to their lips that they share with others? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.